like to first thank Dr. Katrine Tudorlach, who's my mentor, and she's the person that introduced me to this data set, the American Time Use Survey. I'm looking strictly at the 2003. It does go through 2006 at this time. We'll briefly look at the data set, the hypothesis that were set by the researchers, the modeling efforts that were made, and the findings and conclusions. So the purpose of the research was to test the theories of walking duration for Americans captured in the American Time Use Survey. It looks specifically at walking for exercise and walking for transportation. As I said, I worked with the ATUS data set, which is sponsored by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and conducted by the U.S. Bureau, U.S. Census Bureau, which is also the source of the nation's unemployment rate. The sampling consisted of households that completed the current population survey, and then a subsample of those people were surveyed 3 to 5 months later. The sample was stratified and oversampled in particular race groups, eligible households with Hispanic and non-Hispanic black householders, and households with children were oversampled in order to improve the reliability of the time data use for these demographic groups. So within the data set, there were 1,700 interviews strictly for the year 2003. There were 2,440 observations of walking, and we looked at 14 different variables that I'll be describing. There were 12% walking for transportation, and then there was 4.9% that walked for exercise. So the research questions, we wanted to look specifically at what conditions do individuals walk, for what purposes, how do socioeconomics influence walking, what factors influence walking duration, and what are the determinants that influence a person's decision to walk. And then we wanted to try and understand if we modeled these walking durations, could we create a valid model? So we had several different hypotheses. I don't have time to go through each of these, but I would like to discuss a few of them. Walking destination or proximity is very important, as greater proximity of destinations within a walking distance should encourage more walking. Destinations may include recreation, such as tennis, leisure, parks, maintenance, shopping, or subsistence, like meal activities. Suburban neighborhoods, on average, have fewer proximal walking destinations. Accessibility of walking destinations includes provisions of continuous sidewalks, paths, routes to these destinations, and circuitous routes generally diminish accessibility, while direct routes increase accessibility. Safety is of concern. Security includes personal security. Safety includes proximity to traffic, construction. Extremely poor perception of safety, security, could place some in what we call a true zero walking state, which means that they would never choose to walk. Attitudes could be indigenous with walking. Prior walking experience could have influenced the attitude. Conversely, a negative attitude could influence walking duration and could possibly place someone in a zero walking state as well. Ability walk means the physical ability. Disabilities, temporary injuries, and other injuries could prevent someone from walking, and that would put the individual in a true zero state. Also, the purpose of walking. If a person feels that they've walked a sufficient amount for the day, they may feel like they may not want to use walking for recreation or exercise, or they may enjoy walking so much that they walk for many purposes. So the effects could be mixed across the population. Also, it's possible that walking for other activities could be indigenous to walking for exercise. We consider this utilitarian type of exercise. Competing health demands could be other recreational activities. Transport accessibility means availability of motorized vehicles, automobiles, bus, carpool. Time flexibility is time allocation. Time flexibility is actually associated with time constraints such as imposed by young children, taking care of the elderly, parents, relatives in the same household, working, and subsistence of maintenance activities. So you might be able to hypothesize that a wealthy household may be able to afford childcare, household cleaning, gardening services, which enable greater time for flexibility and accommodate for walking for exercise. Cultural views toward walking in recreation, for example, may require particular religious clothing that inhibit comfort or cultural stereotypes may be associated with walking. Environment, the surrounding environment, including temperature and weather, will influence the propensity to walk. So now I'm going to talk about the actual data set that we were able to look at and create proxies. We were able to find a proxy for each of the variables that you see up there, with the exception of attitudes towards walking for recreation and ability to walk. Disabilities was not captured in the American Time Use data set. So then we just started to look at the ability to model the data, and we found that the omitted factors included household density and type of household. And there was also a dual state process that is, there are two types of zeros. There's a true and those that just happen on that particular day not to walk. Many individuals will almost never engage in walking for specific purposes, and many factors are poorly measured with the empirical data, specifically safety or walking environment. For the modeling approach, we knew that we would not be observing negative walking durations, and the distribution of walking durations would be heavily skewed with zeros. There's a great deal of improvement that could occur in the ATOS from the physical activity and the built environment perspectives. An addition or tag or supplement survey would be useful. So from this diagram, you can see that there are a large number of zeros, and there's hypothesized true zeros. There are a large number of zeros. The Poisson regression could fit the model if there were not so many zeros. Some portion of the observed are true, and some recorded on this particular day have that dual state status. An example is a person with severe arthritis versus a person having a cold or a day of bad weather. One of the requirements of the Poisson distribution is that the mean of the count process equals the variance. When the variance is significantly larger than the mean, the data are said to be overdispersed. So these findings translate to the use of a negative binomial regression model. Overdispersion arises from omitted influences across individuals and account for a dual state process with zero inflated negative binomial regression model, or ZINBI. Overdispersion exists across these individuals. Ample evidence for underlying dual state process was very evident, and true zero individuals were predicted with a really good reliability. So now for some of the conclusions of the research. Found that you're more likely to walk for exercise if you live in the northeast region and also walk for travel. You're less likely to walk for exercise if you live in the northwest, the south, or the northeast region. Remember, I'm speaking specifically to exercise and specifically to walking for travel. You're less likely to walk if it's winter, you're of black ethnicity, and have children between the ages of 10 and 14. For people that walk for exercise, duration differs across the different U.S. regions. Blacks walk for exercise less on average compared to other ethnicities combined. Individuals who walk for travel will also tend to walk more for exercise. Having children the ages of 10 to 14 reduces walking duration. And the hypothesis is due to competing demands. Reduction of walk time increases with the number of children within the household. Negatively associated with the zero state are age. Aging decreases the chances of becoming a non-walker. Walking becomes more attractive for health as we age. Perhaps individuals and also income between 30 and 50,000, perhaps individuals in this income class have fewer health substitute activities, so walking is a preferred choice. Being married is negatively associated with the zero state and more likely to walk for exercise. Now looking specifically at walking duration for travel, You're more likely to walk for travel if you live in the Northeast region. There's a negative association to walking for travel when you reside in the South or the Northwest of the U.S. Annual income greater than $50,000 reduces travel walking, whereas individuals in the $5,000 to $20,000 mark increases walk time for travel by 6 minutes, and that's without the marginal effects. And we find that a lot of individuals within this income range do not own vehicles. So aging increases the chances of becoming a non-travel walker, and walking becomes less attractive for travel as we age. It is positively associated with the zero state. Perhaps individuals in this income have a number of health substitute activities, ownership of vehicles when you have income between $30,000 and $75,000. Went over this. Okay. All right. So we had some limitations within the data set. We weren't able to measure attitudes, people's physical abilities, proximity to destinations, or the density within the neighborhoods. However, we felt that the complex time allocation trade-offs between the walking types that occur across demographic markets, non-walkers vary across walking categories, and a range of regional and demographic attributes influences average walking duration. Do you have any questions?